Hello, hello, everybody. It's August 11, 2014. It's good morning in the West Coast, good afternoon in the East Coast, and good evening in the Middle East. This is Orly Benny Davis and The Impossible Truth. Today in Israel, we have a very special day. It's a special day of love. We celebrate Valentine's Day by the Jewish calendar. And that's why I decided to call upon friends, the good friends of Israel, that come and to bless and to love Israel and to send all their blessing. I got Catherine Dorsner from South Carolina, my beautiful place that I love so much in my heart, and it's always there that I want to go. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Orly. How are you?
I'm great. It's so good to hear your voice, and I'm so happy to call in South Carolina today. How is everything right there?
Hot and humid, but wonderful and beautiful. We've had nice rains come through, so it's been a wonderful summer thus far.
I know, and I wish I could be there, but, you know, in Israel, we just finished the war, thank God. But before, you know, we finished, the Americans, our troops, American, USA, went to Iraq. And if there is something I can tell you all, that you should be proud of the red, white, and blues, because this is the most appropriate thing that we can ever do, saving children and women in a lonesome place in Iraq. And I bless the troop, and I know that you will join me, Catherine, by doing so. And, you know, you wanted to come and bless Israel, and yet here we come, and we bless also the American troops to come safe and sound back home.
I do.
I know. It's amazing to understand what kind of caliber this war is starting to get. Because if it starts in the Middle East, it's the Holy Land. Of course, they always fight about it. But, you know, America has been in Iraq for 10 years, tried to settle everything, left it at the best condition that she could, spent so much money. You know, America went broke after that. And now everything is raging again, and we have to send the troops back there. But I hope this time they'll make make it better. How is the feeling right there in South Carolina? Do they feel the pressure? Do they understand? Because I know that Port Royal is not far away, and you know we've been there, and we know that most of them come out also from there. And it's really hard not to be involved when you have people that they go and they have family over there.
I don't, my impression here in South Carolina, I don't know if you know, my degree is in foreign policy and politics, so I've always had a draw towards it, and it's been kind of disenchanting to listen and hear what's going on. And I think a lot of people here, especially in our area, with it being more tourist-driven, it's hard for people to wrap their head around and understand what is actually going on there, because it's so extreme and it's growing so fast and globally. But I know that everyone that I have come into contact with is always praying and there for the greater cause and good, and is behind you.
Thank you. And you know, I told somebody today that I'm an American Israeli, and I ran for Senate, and I ran for office here also in the Knesset. And I don't know where America starts and when Israel ends. It's like when you start working for the good of cause of the world, you never have boundaries between places. It's all one thing, and I believe that America and Israel share the same value. And America has been so great for Israel for so many years, and you know, behind them, and without the inspirational idea of the Iron Dome, Israel would be devastated today. You know, and it was all because of a good sense of the American policymakers that make a difference, investing some innovation and prevent a disaster from happening. So if we start collecting our thoughts together, and if we start working, and you're the next leadership, I call upon you, because you're a promise. You work hard to learn and to understand, And in America, not many do take the time to learn and understand this because it's really complicated. And once you start coming, you know, and understanding more full picture how it is, you'll be able to, you know, start having an ideas that can prevent the world from collapsing. And, you know, you, us, everybody else together, that's the purpose of being together and doing the difference. If we, and you know, South Carolina is a great example because in South Carolina you learn what hospitality is. South Carolina is a place where they love you to pieces, right?
Yes.
You don't want to go back. That's the thing. It's like it's a home away from home for so many people. And that's why it's the best kept secret. So I hope
Thank
I
you.
Didn't So, Catherine, I do wish all of you the best, and I hope that we can talk in happy time. And this is a day of love, of you know, celebration in the Jewish calendar. So I send you love, I send you peace, and I pray with you that we can see
Thank
another
you.
Day in, where the Holy Land, with America, and all around the globe will be brotherhood of men and love and happiness for the children that they come. And I hope we get to grow them in peace. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I promise to continue to spread the word, and I will think of you and your family every day. And be well and be safe.
Thank you, dear. Thank you. Say hello to all my beloved family of yours. Thank you so much. God
Thank
bless
you. Thank you,
and
you
let's
very
go
much.
To
be
a
well.
Break.
Bye-bye, much love and well. Peace.
Amen. Peace. And in this time of between love and war, happiness and sadness for the lost one, we are realizing that there is a danger out there, the danger of people that become extremists and they think that they can take the law to their ends. And for some reason, they want their God to be and the other God to not exist. And anti-Semitism is a factor that the Jewish people had to face for over the years through the diaspora. You know, Israel was built after 2,000 years of diaspora, where after the Second Temple was destroyed, they had to go from one country to another and being abused, being scattered around, even that they do bring good medicine, good business, good sense of humor. They, for some reason, their God of Israel was not acceptable. And we all realized that, you know, we had to go through Holocaust to create a nation, to run and to a safe haven in Israel, which wasn't so safe, I guess, after all, and we can state it as of today. And we realized that we have to stay strong. And sometimes our defensive mechanism maybe override others, innocent people. But when you're being attacked, and when after 2,000 years that you've been run around, and you finally have a place to live by the law of the nation, United Nations, with the vote of the world, nothing was taken, you know, against anybody's wishes, but the people of the land that they think that they belong to resist. And that's the problem was. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's all in the family. The people need to understand that we all one family and we are part of this land. And that will be the agreement that they'll have to sign at the end of the day, just to understand and to accept each other. But meanwhile, a rabbi that was walking to the temple to worship God. He was a guest from New York to Florida. Got shot yesterday. No, actually on Saturday and Sabbath. Was going to the temple at 9 a.m. in the bright of the day. He got shot and got killed. Now, this is not America that I know. This is not America that we all know. America that we all know, go after those goons in Iraq and fight for those souls. That's America we're all proud of. That's America that helped the world. To go and push around people around and kill them, that's not going to be something that America will be proud in the end of history. and we know, and especially, you know, black people that have been through that. You know, in Alabama, where they were working together hand by hand with Rabbi Eshel, they knew that they had the support of the Jewish people. And for some reason, they decided to take a life. And I'm not considering everybody, of course. We know I love that. I have so many supporters from the black community. The black community being a part, an incredible part of the support and understanding. But for some reason, some of them think that Jewish people are not. And there is one there, a big one, in some place in America, who make a plan. So let's not make it happen for that, for him. Let's go to a break. Power is something that is given to a few, but when they use it in the wrong hands, it's working against the universe. The universe gives you, entitles you, and we were entitled for this generation, for all the suffering of our parents that went so much into trouble to give us all what we had. We overreached, overtaken, abused, and used, and we were spoiled like there was no tomorrow. And now we find ourselves in the same place where they actually wanted us to avoid, the place of devastation where everybody fighting to grab a piece. Instead of understanding that God, when he makes a creation, he knows that everyone has a life. But he gives you the power to give. You should use it. You don't take the power and use it for yourself. That's where abusive of power is happening. And people that don't understand it are the people in the Arab country where they take what God gave them, the oil, whatever resources that they have that can bring people to education, to learn, to be happy, to have a life. Instead, we have a problem that a tyranny. Right now, today, they celebrate in Turkey the new president, the president that was the prime minister and now is becoming the president because he couldn't run for another prime ministry job. Mr. Erdogan from Turkey, a guy that decided to break all ties with Israel. But you know what's funny? It's really funny because the rhetoric in one time is the rhetoric and the deeds are different. You know, because every day Turkey pass on all the a lot of our ships with all the goods that they sell through Israel. Every day you have ships landing in Israel ports, transferring and selling. Israel is a place where goods are sold. Israel is a place when you can help the world, the rest of the world, and they use it, and then they call upon destruction. Zionism. What is Zionism that everybody is using like it's a dirty word? Zion is the word from the Bible. It's Jerusalem. Jerusalem is Zion. When any time people are talking about Zionism, just remember it's the return to Jerusalem. And for some reason, the God of Israel is a God that gave the people the Bible, the prophecy, and people from Judeo-Christian believe in it. The God of Israel, for some reason, that tells us Zion is the place where his holiness would like to be. Zionism become a dirty word. They use it against the Jews. They use it against the Israelis. They use it against any sympathizer. Like they know what it means. It doesn't mean nothing. That can reflect of anti of anything. It's anytime somebody tells you that Zionism is bad, you tell him that Zion, Jerusalem, is the beloved of God, and whoever loves God respects the city. And you know, this morning, you know, and yesterday, and the day before, we're trying to worship God, and we go to the Temple Mount, where there is the holy site of all from the first and the second temple. And, you know, sure enough, the Muslims built a little cathedral on top of it. On the side, they have a mosque, and on top, they have a cathedral. And they refused to let us in, of course. Why to let us in if we want to pray for God? And then they want us to stop going there. They want to take over the whole Jerusalem because there is no right for another God. I think that tolerance is something we study in school. Tolerance is we study at home. And tolerance is our duty to teach. Today, I would like to remember that teaching, it's not always easy. Sometimes you have to set an example. Tolerance needs to be felt everywhere, between us, especially in America, which is the mother of liberty, the place where freedom is freedom. When you are free, you're free. So let's go back and pray together that God give us the tolerance that we need to preserve this world and the patience that we need to make it happen. Let's go to a break. And we are back, and thank you so much for listening. It's really hectic time in the world, and you can hear it all over. Hectic means that we all a little confused. We all a little confused about what to do, what is the right thing. There are so many people telling us to do that, so many that tell us not to do that. And what is the way a person should choose? How can we know what's good and bad? And there was one sage named Hillel in the Jewish faith that said, when I am present, everything is well. And somebody asked him, what is a pretentious, so much pretentious to say that when you are there, everything is okay? He said, no, make no mistake. I is me, my existence, my soul, my being. If I'm here as my being is here, everything will be okay. And you know, it's hard to be in Hollywood and keep up the faith and try to shed all those masquerade that we have to carry in California, for example. They are so nice. And Hollywood is the best place to be if you want to make a movie, and to have to create images again and again. And it's a dreamland, yes. But it's a dreamland. On the rest of the world, they need to shed all their fake identities, you know, to find themselves. Why we are all here together, and why we left Africa to be devastated at such point that there is like a very bad disease right now that they're running around, and you know, we're sending doctors, we're trying to find a solution to make sure that the Ebola virus will not, God forbid, spread. But you know, it people travel there, people can travel. There are people that travel there and got sick and they got brought home to be healed. And what will happen if, you know, it spreads? How we got to a point where there are so much that we know and so little that we use. It's remind me always in that spot, you know, that a person got choked and the people on the other table telling how you have to make the Heimlich maneuver instead of helping him. People are in need of help. Talking is all is cheap, as they say in America. But talk is good for the school yard. It's good to the classroom. We have to teach, yes. We have to learn. It's good to the temple where we have to go and to churches where we worship. We have to understand, or you worship there. You have to understand that doing is much better. It's much more satisfying and much better in the creation of the world. And if we left Africa to be devastated, and we left now Iraq. In Iraq, we had a reason. We trusted people. But all the Arab world is in uproar. everything is gone wild. The people that took control over them are not in existence anymore. And right now we don't even know who are the ones that we can trust. And we have people, goodwill people all over that come and help. And they are good. They are forces that bring them together. Like we are here together, we're talking about the goodness of the world, how we can bring brotherhood of men. And people ask me to how to have value in their life. And you know, value is something you have embedded in society, of course, but it's embedded in you. You know what is right and wrong. And if you listen to your gut feeling, that's something they teach always, always in school from the first grade. You have to listen to your gut feeling. Trust yourself. Trust yourself that you can make a decision. And even if it looks like in the short run, it won't be right because you're going to be wasting time helping other people. You're going to waste money giving charity. You're going to be wasting time donating to volunteer to help campaign for people you believe in that can change the world you live in. But it's not. Every time you put in, you're going to be rewarded. And you know, next week we have a very special guest. Congressman Joe Wilson from South Carolina is our special guest next week. And I'm telling you, if there is any person that put everything aside and put effort and doing and not talking, not much of a talker, but so much love and so much hard work and honesty. You know, we know all about the history and we know how things change in politics. Everything can be said, of course, but we have to realize good people are good people and we have to celebrate them and give them the love and the respect they deserve, because without them, we can be disorganized. We can be bound to be dependent on bad people. And the more empowered they are, the more strong the good side will be. And nothing we have to, you know, to regret. If you do the right thing, at the end of the day, you go to sleep well. If you say to yourself, I don't want to do it, even though it's a good thing, you are derailing from your own road. In life, there is one road one can lead. The right way to go and the good way. If you choose good, you will find good. And many people said, you know, that road is not really busy because not many people are there. Yes, but I hope that these days there are many more that worship the world, the God creation in a way to respect it like animals. Yeah, you know, the animals that God gave to the world are amazing. The help, the love that we get from them is amazing. If what a person will do without a horse, you know, to ride in the field, what a person will do without a cow to milk from, what a person will do without a dog to come and run to him and love him no matter what he looks, smell after a day of work. God bless them. And, you know, it's all the animal, of course. I don't have any preference, of course. Tigers and, you know, lions are beautiful. I prefer them, but I respect all of them. But I think that we need to understand that in politics, too, there is a line that you cannot pass on. The line that the Palestinians were trying to cross this time when they're trying to shoot over incredible city of Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv has been the heartbeat of the world for quite some time. You got the exchange of diamond there. You have commerce from all the world coming there. You have people visiting, getting ideas and high-tech innovation funded. And all of this is happening in a little square mile, you know, of a city. And those people wanted to destroy the future of high-tech, the future of innovation, the future that people can reflect and think, wow, what would we do without those chips that were created in Israel? What about those beautiful, beautiful flowers? What about the Great Diamond Exchange? Things that people have, and it's not because, you know, they need to have diamonds or to have a special tech. It's just we evolve. And in this evolution of man, if we want the people, and God created them to be innovative, if you can keep on going and if you can keep on thinking that, you know, you're doing the right thing, you pray to God to guide you, you might end up on the right track one day soon, happy ever after. Let's go to a break. And we are back, and we are back after this wonderful music that just remind us the world is beautiful. And today we have a special guest, the Consulate General of Israel from Atlanta, Mr. Ofer Aviram. We are so honored to have you, sir. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. Shalom, Oli, and please call me Ofer.
I will call you Ofer, sir. I know you insist on that. Thank you so much. And we've been talking about the incredible success that Israel has been having with the innovation, with iTech, and you, that you're responsible for 6 states in the U.S. can promote the commerce and the work that we all share together. Why don't you tell us about this incredible work you've been doing for the last 4 years? Congratulations on that, too.
Thank you so much. Just a week ago, actually, I marked my 4th year in Atlanta. I have another 1 year to go. And I could tell you that actually it has been my best and amazing posting ever I had. I served a part in Burma, in the Netherlands, in Israel, then Australia, back to Israel, and now in America. And coming from Israel to the southeast, to states like Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, I couldn't have chosen a better place because, you know, I'm using here the cliche, I'm coming from the Bible land to the Bible belt. And it's cliche, but actually it's true because we see these days the pouring support of love and really strong support of Americans, Christians and Jews for the southeast to Israel. And during that operation, actually a war from Hamas and Gaza on Israel, as I shared with people, we were fighting on our home. And even either if it's through the terror tunnels or the rockets are coming on Israel, and I spent some time in Israel during that time, but I had to be back to Atlanta because to do my job here. My family, my wife, who was in Israel, and also my daughter, 18 years old, who was visiting Israel, they were caught, like many Israelis, in the middle of the street in Tel Aviv. Suddenly a siren went off, and they had to lie down like every other Israeli, or to run to a shelter, not always it's closed. But here, you know, I can tell you the first rally I had during that tough month was in actually Columbia, South Carolina, with messages from Mayor Benjamin, great friend of Israel, who was in Israel with AIPAC delegation. There was a statement from Lindsey Graham, from Congressman Joe Wilson, 2 great friends of Israel. And then later on in Atlanta, me and my deputy in Atlanta, in Nashville, in Charlotte, in Birmingham, back to Atlanta for another 2 events. And there was one, I think, in Huntsville over this weekend. So really, it's through the whole region. And you hear statements coming from governors, from leaders of parties across the political aisle, Republicans and Democrats. Mayor Kasim Reed of Atlanta, like Mayor Benjamin of Columbia, 2 grains of Israel and standing for Israel very strongly.
Right, and they are really incredible supporter. And I heard that the governor from New York is coming also to support Israel today. We have the support of the Saudis, thank God, because those people understand that the Israel exists for a reason, and the connection, the warm connection between us and them is immense. And the amazing thing is that they take the time also to understand the commerce opportunity that we have in Israel. In Israel, you know, you can come here and create a startup company, and before you know it, you know, you sell it to Google or, you know, Facebook or whatever other utility that we use in the cell phones or the rest. iTech is the incredible innovation, and every time we have to stop and run to a shelter, it's like a shattered, you know, everybody's time and space. And we're so happy that we have a ceasefire today, and it seems like we're going to agreement. Do you know anything about the agreement that they're going to cut?
It's too early to see. And what we are lucky at the moment, actually, as I shared with some friends, groups, political Christian and Jewish leaders and media here in the Southeast, I describe what we are going through is actually clash of civilizations. And one civilization, what we American Israelis and many Palestinians actually stand for cherishing life and cherishing achievement, pluralism and democracy. And the other is not civilization, actually, it's a savagery, as Prime Minister Netanyahu describes it. Is what Iran is representing through its proxies, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah. In Israel, the people know it very well. In the Southeast, I think they understand it quite well also. But we have to, in a way, educate the people and the media and to tell them the facts. And some actually I'm getting annoyed when I see headlines like Israel and Palestinian exchanging fire. Hey, guys, wake up. I mean, we accept a ceasefire. And Hamas starting shelling us during the ceasefire, 20, 40, 50 rockets during the ceasefire. So we're not exchanging fire, we're just protecting our own people. So it's an right. Endless, you know, effort. But you need two for tango. You need partners to work with. And this is my luck, actually. I can consult with friends, politicians, with Christian leaders, African-American, Jews, Israelis who care and staying here. And you're trying to look who are your partners. You can find many, but those who are willing to take a stand, to write a letter to the editor, to give a call to editor, editorial editor, to make a judgment, to come to a rally like in Atlanta. Over 2,200 people came 2 weeks ago, or to go to demonstration. Some Israeli, just private Israeli, organized over the CNN when he heard there was a demonstration of Palestinians. So he decided just to call as many supporters of Israel. Eventually, they had 500 Israelis and Jews and Americans and Christians holding American and Israeli flags together, opposite only less than 200 pro-Palestinians. And I would say even injustice to say pro-Palestinians, because for me, it's pro-Hamas, because people should take a stand. Either they are with the moderate forces, or they're with the extreme forces. You cannot just stay on the line. You cannot be right. Just, you know, so-called neutral. And for that person, yeah. I would say, I would add something very clear.
I would say that
Jimmy Carter, former president, once again, yeah. last week, came against Israel. And not just against Israel in his article in the foreign policy, by calling to recognize Hamas as a political force. I mean, leave aside Israel. He's betraying Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen, Palestinian president, by actually calling to recognize Hamas, a terrorist organization. Mr. Carter, former president, well, you look what his friends are, with actually North Korea or Cuba or Hamas. Well, he has some lack of judgment, and especially when he's turning his back to Palestinian leadership, moderate leadership, and reaching out to Hamas. But you know,
if I can interrupt for a minute to clarify
sure.
what Mr. Carter said, you're saying that he wants to recognize Hamas as a political once they disarm their arm. It's not like a terrorist group with armament that's calling for the destruction of Israel can be recognized as a political party when. Well, they got elected. You know, everybody let them be elected in 2005 if it was the last time that there were ever election in the Palestinian territory.
Yeah, but people started confusing between the fact that they got certain small majority in Gaza, but actually the election was for the assembly of the Palestinian Authority come from Gaza and West Bank together. And in the joint assembly, they were the minority. And still, the authority which was running the Palestinians in Gaza was the Palestinian Authority, not the Hamas. And when we left Gaza 2005, it was the Palestinian Authority who took over. because they are the representative of the Palestinian people. But within a year, that was that coup d'etat, bloody coup d'etat in which the Hamas killed more than 200 Palestinian Authority policemen and executive and officials, and they took over in Gaza with force. So the whole idea was of the whole process of the Oslo, if people like it or do not like the Oslo Accord, is actually one authority, one gun, one law. And that authority, the Palestinian Authority, that in West Bank, working with us, sometimes we are very frustrated with them, the way they attack us on different international organizations, UN, and for that purpose, Abu Mazen is not a true partner, but he's not a terrorist. Well, Hamas are terrorists.
But let's go back to the UN. You know, one of the organizations that works in the Gaza Strip to help the Palestinians and keeping them in the refugees' camp is UNRWA. And
yes.
UNRWA has been storing, while helping the Palestinian people, obviously, they've been storing missiles for Hamas. And in the middle of the war, they were handing it, you know, to Hamas, even though that Israel discovered and found them. Now, do you think that we should call upon UNRWA to be called to be an unlawful organization and to expel them from the United Nations? Because how can we allow the people to keep on working when they collaborate with a terrorist organization and they come in and out of Israel, you know, with the UN flag on their cars? And nobody stopped them, obviously, but they actually are collaborating. So we need to make sense out of all, because if their bad guys are mixed with the good guys, apparently, you know, if the UN is mixed with terrorist organization, who we can trust in this, international
The UNRWA should be reorganized, restructured, because indeed, some of the employees are foreigners coming from Europe, from other places, but the majority of the employees of the UNRWA in Gaza are Palestinians. And while the Hamas took over in Gaza, so Hamas had the upper hand, actually, the way to force the UNRWA to collaborate. Now, there are two elements here. One, actually, as you mentioned earlier, the fact that the three different schools of UNRWA and facilities of UNRWA, arsenal of rockets have been found, actually, by UNRWA people, and they brought it to the international eye. But the mistake was absurd, but actually they handed it over again to Hamas, because the Hamas was and still, unfortunately, is the authority in Gaza until transformation will take place. And the other one, actually, is the incitement within the schools and the summer camps of UNRWA, where kids are indoctrinated, toxicated to be martyrs, to kill Jews, which is very bad. This is the culture of death, culture of hate. Now, I would say that actually following that ceasefire that hopefully will be extended, the real settlement solution for Gaza is complete disarmament and demilitarization of Gaza. It will not happen in one day, but this is the right direction, and the Palestinian Authority police officers from West Bank should move over there. First of all, take control of the border gates, border checkpoint with Egypt. This is the interest of Egypt. And we have now an Egyptian government that see the Hamas is a threat to them as much as for us. For that purpose, they don't let the Hamas gain any kind of achievement from this war. And we have to see where it's going. There's a new opportunity. There's now a kind of a coalition of forces in our world of Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, some other Arab Gulf states, and visibly those forces of terror, which is Iran, Qatar, with the main sponsor of the Hamas financially, and also PR. We're having the Al Jazeera station that actually supports the Hamas.
Your Honor, you mentioned something very important. We are actually defending Egypt's interest in this war. And I don't understand why Israeli boots on the ground should protect Egypt's interest. If Egypt needs to cover for the Rafah exit, they need to send their troops. There is no way that Israeli lives will be in stakes because the Egyptian becomes stubborn with the Palestinian because they use Israel arms against the Hamas.
Perhaps
this
I was not clear enough.
And
I will repeat it and I'll clarify my intention. Our intention definitely is not to control the crossing between Gaza and Egypt. That Rafah crossing is controlled by the Egyptian, side, and until now it's by the Hamas. And the idea that from now on the Palestinian Authority officers will be there as much as they are on the border crossing from the West Bank into Israel, we have close military or security collaboration with them. And these forces were trained by U.S. Military in the West Bank, and they're working with Israeli military to foil any terrorist attempts from the West Bank into Israel. So the same principle should be between Gaza to Israel, between Gaza to Egypt, not for Israeli forces to be there. We shouldn't have one single Israeli soldier or civilian in Gaza. We went out of Gaza 2005 not to return again. But at the same time, we have to protect ourselves from our side of the border. But Egypt is an important ally of the United States, of Israel. There are two countries, as you know so well, which have only two Arab countries, with a peace treaty with Israel, with Egypt, and then Jordan. And we have to maintain and consolidate this peace, because this is the pillars of our strategic position, military position, and strategic position in the Middle East. Even it's not a warm peace, but it's important peace, and we have to work together, Egypt, the U.S., Israel, and other moderate forces.
Yes, all the ones, but we still have to have a cooperation of boots of the ground of Egypt, of the Jordanian. If we protect their interests, they should be on the ground too. Now, one last question before I let you go, sir, and thank you so much for your time. A rabbi went to visit in Florida and got killed. Now, this put the Jewish community in uproar in Florida. Is there is a precautions that's been taken to prevent anything else to happen in the USA, like a reorganization of the safety guard? Are we on alert? Because if they are attacking Jewish people, like I learned in New York, they're attacking anybody that has the tzitzit, the garment, the Jewish garment out, they beat them up. Are we planning to have any Jewish protection? Because Israel is protected, it has its army if anybody comes to attack them, but the Jewish people are free soul, they don't have it, they don't carry guns, they don't know how to protect themselves. Are we overseeing this, sir?
Well, I can tell you, we enjoy great collaboration from the law enforcement agencies here in the Southeast, and especially in Georgia, but also in other states. One of the reasons, actually, it's a great program called GILI, Georgia International Law Enforcement Exchange, created in Georgia State University, in which many law, sheriffs and chief of police are going to Israel every year to visit, and some of the from Israeli police officers are coming to Atlanta and to the Southeast to learn from the Southeastern state and actually create a lot of security and safety. And I can tell you, the State Department, the arm that dealing with the safety of the consulate, is taking care to provide us the best security, the same with Atlanta Police Department, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and the whole agency. So we, and I feel it from my colleagues in the Jewish communities, they enjoy very close collaboration and great support from the different law enforcement agencies to provide them that sense of safety and security they can live as a proud Jews in America, especially here in this area.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. On this note, sir, I bless you. I hope that you have a wonderful, successful next year and maybe many years to come. Wherever you are, you are a wonderful treasure, person for the Jewish state and for the state of Israel. You're helping and you bring happiness and love to everybody there. Thank God for you, and God bless you, and let's go to a break. And goodbye.
Thank you so much. Next time we'll talk about business and culture. Thank you. Shabbat shalom, and God bless you and all our friends in America.
God bless you. Toda motek. Thank you. And we are back, and we were so lucky to have Consulate General of Israel in Atlanta, Mr. Ofer Avraham, a guest of our show. He works so hard between 6 to 8. It's not easy when you don't have much of, personnel. Israel is a little country that needs to cover so much space with so little people and so much responsibility laying on them to connect, to meet, and to inform the people. And sometimes, he's sitting in Atlanta and CNN is right there in front of, you know, of them, showing all the devastation of the world that apparently Israel created. You know, the media can do well by reporting the truth, trying to monitor and edit it and their own liking is not something, you know, we tolerate. A few years back when we had the Intifada, there was a lot of reporting of CNN. Intifada was between 2000 and 2007. 2000 was the day that Camp David Accord collapsed. If nobody knows yet, Israel has been trying to negotiate with the Palestinians for the last 20 years. It started in 1993 in the Oslo Accord that was meant to be based on 224 and 338, which represent, you know, defensible borders and, you know, understanding that they are two-state solutions. But for some reason, those 20 years went in vain, giving so much money to the Palestinians. There were, at some point in time, they were calculating that there was $30,000 for each Palestinian a year. The money that was given to from the world to help, you know, the question of Palestine, the idea of the refugees, whatever. Then we heard that, you know, Mr. Arafat had the bank account in France that was lavish and his wife was enjoying it. Now we have that Hamas has, you know, the guy of Hamas is so rich, he owns like $5 billion or something like that. And he's in Qatar. He's been to Gaza one time and he's the leader of them. And I don't want to speak bad right now because they are, you know, deciding to stop everything and come back to the negotiation table with the Egyptian because there is no direct talk with Israeli because they don't recognize Israel right to exist. So how can you negotiate with somebody who doesn't recognize you? You know, you cannot. It's an oxymoron. But they're still there. They, you know, they want to be considered, but they don't consider the other one. I have no question that they understand right now that in the midst of all this mess, where the world is fighting in Iraq, the Kurds, 30 million of them have no house. 30 million have, you know, they've been around and around, and nobody gave them ever a state of their own. You know, there is Kurdistan, but there is no Kurd land for some reason. So, and they've been persecuted and been running after them again and again, and for some reason, nobody takes the time to support them. But sure enough, the Palestinian issue is good. They want everything. The Palestinians want the heart of and the soul of the Bible, of the existence of God, of the Judeo-Christian faith, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, by all means, it's holy for them, good, but respect that. Anybody who can go on Temple Mount today or tomorrow will find them hollering, you know, their God's name, apparently, and throw stones or whatever they can spit in a holy place. Do you know what holy place is? It's a place when you let God be and you stop being you. When any time you go to a temple or a church or any other holy place, do you ever emphasize your own existence more than God's existence? How can you ever worship if you think that you are the mighty one, and you go there and you get the screaming crowd of children and women against those faithful Jews that are willing to take the abuse just to tell God that whatever happens, they are there to worship him in peace. And if we don't understand that, We don't understand that God existing can be, God exists, of course, but our existence with God, in God's space, can be only by avoiding putting ourselves first. We have to recognize the holy space. We have to give it cleanness, good thoughts, prayer, soft speaking, no mockery whatsoever, no mockery, no joking around. This is a holy place. Respect it. How do you like to respect God? How do you think God wants it to be recognized? How do you think we can respect God's land if we let people come, abuse, scream in the most holy of all, and then they're going to, what is it, the United Nations Civil Rights Committee or whatever? So funny, you know, that I stopped tagging along the UN routine ever since they kicked America from Human Rights Committee. You know, if you kick America from Human Rights Committee today, it means that there is no human rights, because if America is not recognized, who shall be? So it's really not happening. So every time they say and they're pointing, and I got all the left wings, you know, talking right now beautifully. And they know, they understand the right of the other. They recognize the right of the other. They, you know, how they say always, I work hard so you, the weak one, can be heard. So please, let's tell the word right now. Israel and the Jewish people are population of small minority. There is no much of us. You know, they try to exterminate us constantly. We have no many of us, and they're doing good. And you promise, you work hard to protect the rights of those people. Where is that right of the rabbi to be a rabbi? Where is the right to be different? You know, there is Lord Sacks, Rabbi Sacks from London, which was used to be the chief rabbi of England, says the right to be different is us. Every time a Jew comes along, it's recognizing him as the different one. He's recognizing the right of others to exist no matter who they are. It means accepting God wishes in this world to have everybody. We are only a sample. We get abused because we are supposedly the one, the messengers that carry the duty to represent the rest. They carry the duty to be there, carry the duty to enlighten others. And they are beating us all the time. They're trying. But now because we become on the right road, God is protecting us more and more and more, like he protects. Because he has space to be, because we're keeping his space. We give him the space. We honor God. We honor other people. We want to honor you. We want to honor them. We want to honor anything. I'm not sure about the space people, okay? Let's talk. If they are not astronauts and UFO, I'm not sure about that. But I want to tell you something. If we have anything that we can learn from the Beatles, when they used to say, let it be, let it be, let God be, and let God be everywhere, no matter what that we decide. But please, call us the God of love, life, existence, future. All the rest, terminology, well, you can call them a lot, thousands of words, of course, but in a sense of goodness. Anything that is not good, that devastate people, that hurt people, mankind made this and try to blame God at this. It's not God, because God teaches right from wrong, and he shows us the way. We have to choose it. Because when we get out of the road, we get derailed. We found the objection, the resistance, and all the rest of the goodies. I am Orly Benny Davis, and this is the impossible truth. This is the impossible truth of living with God, love, and happiness, and finding it so hard to accomplish in the world of politics of today. I've been working hard so many years to help bring Jerusalem to the center of attention of the world, to bring Jerusalem to the attention of the policymaker of the world, to recognize her as the capital city of Israel. We are not successful yet. In 1994, President Bill Clinton with Prime Minister Rabin, God bless his soul, signed an agreement, a kind of agreement that the U.S. will transfer the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Since then, we had a lot of resolutions. I myself and all the committees of Joe Wilson's office, I remember how hard we worked, to pass along a resolution, just to get signature on that one resolution about Jerusalem. And still, every year, we don't have it. And all the other embassies are not in Jerusalem. What a missed opportunity of a state. If you think that a state that wants to get blessed will not put his, hers, embassy in the Holy Land, in the holy city of Jerusalem, calling, about to the world, this is us, we are here, this is our embassy in the holy city of Jerusalem. What a missed opportunity. How can people pass on this opportunity to come and be a part of Jerusalem? There is a consulate in East Jerusalem, occupied mostly by and worked by the local Arab community. I heard that it's not easy to get a visa for Israeli there, but it's okay. It's, whoever wants to go will go to America, can come. Whoever doesn't, it's fine. Or if they don't want, nobody obligate anybody to accept. But when you have the opportunity to have a messenger in the town of where holiness exists, how can you pass that opportunity? I don't understand. And even if you think about it, it's funny because the story of Jerusalem is very funny because they say that, when the United Nations asked who Jerusalem belonged to, the Jews said it belongs to God. So nobody actually negotiated for this, so they said it's international. So now the Arab decided it's theirs because the Jews didn't declare it, but we declare it thousands of times from the biblical time of King David that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And Jerusalem is not just the capital of Israel. It's the holy place of God, where we can worship God. Now, for some reason, Palestinians, they don't have a country yet, they say. They don't have a leadership that respect God or whole life that God created because they respect death. That's what they promote. They promote, Shahid. Then they want to kill all the rest of creation that is not Muslim or agree with their Muslim faith. And they want to take over the holy city of Jerusalem. I don't think so, Why should the world give Jerusalem to people who like to destroy people? So it's like, come to visit the holy city here. This is our glorified agenda. I don't think so. I think that it's about time we call the bluff. It's time to bring back the tomb of Rachel. The tomb of Rachel, there by itself, all alone, in the midst of Bethlehem, the tomb of the matriarch, of the Jewish people. She's the matriarch of the Jewish people, not anybody else, the Judeo-Christian people, of course. Nobody else. And she is alone in the middle of nowhere in Palestinian area. Why? I don't know. Still trying to figure out that incredible, you know, deal that we cut sometimes. Then you got Hebron. Hebron, oh, boy, if you saw the flag Hamas running in Hebron with the patriarchs of the Jewish and Judeo-Christians there. And let's make no mistake, Hebron was the father of all our people, right? Also the you know, our brothers, the Muslim brothers. And what happened? They divided, and they're, I don't know how we can get along when they just back up. Stop it. Let's stop it. Let's just make sense out of it and understand that God has a plan, and it's his plan. Whatever it is, we don't know. We can only fathom to think that we might know. Just need to play the role. Let's play it right. Let's do it right. Let's love each other like there is no tomorrow. Let's be the one that make a difference in the day of a child, of a parent, of an old person, of anybody needs of independence, you know, dependence on you or not. Just be a mensch. Make it better. Let's get our troops of goodness in the world to march, to make our world a better one. Let's give God a chance to his kingdom to be among us so we can be whoever we need to be. God bless you all. I love you. I hope to hear with you soon. Anybody who wants to write to the station, please do. You can call upon us if you want. All the information is on BBS Radio talk show, and this is Impossible Truth, Orly Benny Davis, and thank you, Doug, for your assistance. God bless you all, and goodbye.